Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team.
This episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast is brought to you by SDR Pods. Learn how we can build you a fully equipped sales development team to execute on personalized multi-channel prospecting and book you more meetings at the link below. Wouldn't it be a salesperson's dream if you could just sit down at your desk, look at the list of people you're supposed to be calling that day with their accurate, up-to-date, direct phone lines right there in your CRM, and then when you dial, the prospect themselves picks up, no gatekeeper, they have time to chat, they love the idea of having a demo with you. Unfortunately, that is not really the reality of outbound sales. You've got to do a lot of hard work to be able to book a meeting, and especially if you want to book a meeting with a really difficult to reach executive from a large account. And according to my guest, if you're not doing the work, you don't actually deserve the meeting. I'm your host, Sarah Hicks, and today on the Predictable Revenue Podcast, I'm going to be chatting to an expert about how to book a meeting with a senior executive in any industry. He's a speaker, author, presenter, advisor, and an emerging technology specialist. In June of this year, he founded Productive AI, a company dedicated to making artificial intelligence more accessible to more people. He has more than 25 years of experience as a sales leader and management consultant for companies selling into multiple industries. Troy, welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast.
Sarah, thank you. It's really great to be here.
I'm super excited for this conversation. And I don't know if you noticed, I just deliberately skipped over your last name because I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to pronounce it correctly.
That's okay.
So actually, the world deserves to know.
It's Angrenon.
Angrenon. Troy Angrenon.
There we go. The second G is silent. So there, it's very easy.
Okay, perfect. Well, as I mentioned in its intro, you've got a ton of experience selling across a lot of different industries. So before we get into the kind of nitty gritty, tell us a bit about your history and how you got to where you are now.
Sure. Yeah. Happy to do that. I actually had a really cool start. I left university just for a summer job, ended up just going over meeting somebody in the IT space, which I was very interested in, said, hey, I'd like to do some summer work. And long story short, ended up working with him for the summer and then eventually just not going back to university and continuing to work with him. This is my first real sort of mentor in business, Gary Ralston. He runs a consulting firm with his wife now. And it was a really cool experience because you said, look, I'm leaving. I'm doing some business consulting trips and some other things. Come and run my business for me for the summer because, you know, I'll be gone. You do that. And then I did. And then we just continued to work together for a couple of years. And eventually I took that business over from him and continued to run it. And then after that, I had been talking to another mentor of mine, the one that connected us actually for this call.
Nice.
And he and I were chatting and he said, you know, you really should go get some sales training if you want to work in startups and building businesses and things like that. Stay close to the revenue. I remember that phrase. And he had suggested the best training at the time was really through Crystal Decisions, which had folded into Business Objects at that point. So I went into Business Objects, did some sales training there as an inside account manager and learned a ton. I was supporting an outside account manager for oil and gas, Fortune 100 oil and gas. Learned a lot about working with sort of big entities at that point. And from there, ended up doing a whole bunch of different things. But the short version is ended up going off into cloud computing and spending about 12 years doing a variety of management consulting on sales, marketing, and partnering in the cloud computing space.
Awesome. So that's definitely a crazy range when it comes to kind of who you were selling into, right? You said Fortune 100 oil and gas, there's IT, cloud computing, offline, you mentioned to me state government. So you've had a ton of experience selling into all these different industries. And for those of you listening, take note of that. Stay close to the revenue. Was that the quote?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what Reg said to me many, many years ago.
Yeah, that's so interesting. It makes sense if you want to learn how sales and revenue works.
Right.
Get into it. Get your hands dirty. Stay close to the revenue. So jot that down if you're a listener. But now, Troy, let's talk about your process for booking meetings. Again, you've got this experience prospecting into a very wide range of industries, but. Yeah, let's talk about how you actually do it. So kind of as a first step, what do you need to familiarize yourself with or how do you need to educate yourself about the company before you go out and prospect them?
Mm-hmm. I think that the first step is get to know the industry. And you don't have to be a super expert in the industry. You can learn these things very quickly. And it kind of, to me, it goes back to first principles, which is know a lot. understand basic business across all industries. So if you don't know basics of finance, you don't know basics of operations and revenue in and expenses out and things that the CEO cares about. There's a great book from Ram Charan that I remember from way early on in my career, which is, I think it's What the CEO Wants You to Know.
Okay.
Great book. And it's kind of the basics of business. Everybody should know it. I think all salespeople should know it. So I make it a general level, understand business. Secondarily, understand the market that your customer is in. So, you know, my very first job, we were selling into oil and gas. I knew nothing about oil and gas. Mm-hmm. Downloaded a whole bunch of information from, I think it was SAP, which ultimately acquired them, which was, hey, here's our supply chain map of the industry. Here's how it breaks up. Here's what these different, you know, sub-component companies care about in this space. And they're different because they've got distribution or drilling or whatever. They've got different company types. So get to know a little bit, just enough that you can speak smartly about the industry, and then get to know that specific customer. So if it's customer X in industry Y, you know, now you know a little bit about the industry, and now you should know pretty much everything about that customer. What are their press releases? What are they working on? What are their strategic priorities? And what's funny to me that a lot of people don't know and don't do is you can go to their website and download their annual report and look through and sit, and they'll tell you what their strategic priorities are. They'll say, in the next year, we commit to the board to do these five things. And in there, you'll find sub breakouts for, we're going to increase security, we're going to move to the cloud, we're going to do whatever it is that you care about. So it's kind of like understand business, understand the sector of your customer, understand your customer. Now, you know, it sounds like a lot, and it is, but at that point, now you're potentially somebody who can bring some value to the table, because now you also know your product and your industry. So if you go to have a conversation with somebody, you can say, hey, I know you're in this space, and I know you're a type of customer that has these concerns. We address those concerns, and we help you solve those problems. So suddenly they say, great, this person knows me and knows my general environment, my context, and also knows about this other thing that I want to buy, like cloud computing or data center security or whatever that is.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense. To recap for those of you listening, the kind of things that you need to look at to basically give yourself this foundation of knowing everything, as Troy says, before you even prospect, you need to know your industry, you need to know your market. And then after you know those two things, then you need to know the customer, know what their specific kind of priorities are, their strategic priorities. You can download that from their website, in often cases you can, and know what business, what problems those specific businesses have in this market. And that's when you can then create really relevant messaging to do with kind of your product when you reach out to them. So
exactly.
Troy, with all this research that you're doing, where do you put all this information down so that you can then use it later?
Well, so I'm a voracious note taker. So I tend to just like capture as much of this stuff as I can in a couple of pages in a Word doc or something, or whatever notes app you use. I'm not a big fan of CRMs. I think most people aren't. I generally don't put all this stuff into CRMs. I find them too laborious and time consuming, which is probably not something you're supposed to say on a sales call. So I will just tend to build my own document, and I'll share that. I have a kind of a principle which I've learned from a lot of military folks. I'm civilian, but I've learned from a lot of military folks. And the principle is, you know, make sure everybody has the same situational awareness. They all understand the context. They understand the customer. So if I do that research, and I almost always do, I'll then share that to the entire sales team. So everybody in the team, including the partners, we all get who this customer is, what their problems are, what their priorities are, and we can all have that context when we're having the conversation with the customer.
Okay, interesting. And then how do you use all the research that you've done, kind of nailing down their market, the customer, all that strategic, their strategic plans, all that stuff? How do you use all of that to craft your messaging?
So we were doing this in the last company I worked at, which was Cisco, which was a really cool company doing a lot of great stuff. I worked with a lot of great people there. One of the things that I would see is I was a specialist. So I was, think of it as an overlay. So we had field teams that were directly working with the accounts. They owned the account. Then we had generalist specialists, which were kind of one layer up, which had still a pretty broad portfolio. And then we had that kind of hyper specialist, which was our team. So we were, you know, very much specialized on two or three or four products. So I would work with the account teams, so a couple teams down, and that were the ones directly interfacing with the customer. And they would say, hey, I'm new to the account. I don't have access to the CIO, and I need that access to, you know, figure out what we're going to do with these folks. Hmm. So we do all this research together, and then we would talk to all the other people in the team, or maybe the prior sales manager or the sales, you know, sorry, sales account leader, or maybe the sales manager if they've got the history, and then map out that customer. Okay, here's their executive team. Here are all the people we know. This is pretty standard process, right? Mm-hmm. Who are our allies? Who are neutral? Who are negatives? What do we know about these folks? What are their priorities individually? So kind of do an executive team map and a maybe a technical team map. And then at that point, we would say, okay, who do we need to access? In this case, it's the CIO. Mm-hmm. Then we would craft something, you know, obviously warm introductions are always the best. So if there's anybody in the organization who can just directly connect you in and say, hey, this is Jane, she's new on the account team, she wants to have a 15-minute conversation with you. If you can get that to happen, perfect. But we always, you know, ask for a reasonable amount of time, maybe 30 minutes. Can we do a 30-minute introductory meeting? And when we come into that meeting, and we've done this multiple times, we try to establish in the first 3 minutes or 2 minutes, we've done all this research. We know everything about everything. We've talked to every one of your team. We know all the projects they're working on. Suddenly that CIO goes, well, that's good because I don't even know all that. And this is great because now they see you as being valuable. You're actually feeding them information from their team. Right. And then we'll say, and we've already gone through all your strategic priorities. You already posted them in the annual report. So we understand that these are your top five. Which ones are you focused on? And you can see the conversation is already, they're going, oh, they've already done their homework. I'm not wasting my time. This is going to be a very productive 30 minutes. And those 30 minute meetings usually go for an hour to an hour and a half. Because then they go, great, let's get on the whiteboard. I want to tell you all about my priorities and what I'm going to, how I'm going to make my name here and make my career by achieving these objectives.
Awesome. So to kind of backpedal a bit, you mentioned kind of how you map the account. So let's get in a little more tactical into that. How do you do that? Are you reaching out to all of these people over the phone, over LinkedIn, over email? Tell me about the process of, how do you map the account as a whole before you get to that key decision maker?
Usually it's internal. The way I've always done it is, you know, certainly you can look at LinkedIn as well, but the reality is if you're in a larger company, which I've mostly worked in or with larger customers, small, I've worked in startups selling to large customers, or I've been in a large company selling to large customers. In either case, you have a lot of institutional knowledge that's not captured in your CRM. So what I would often do is just say, hey, who knows this account? And, you know, usually there'd be like a sales engineer, system engineer or something who goes, oh, I've been working with these guys for 15 years. Great. Come on in. Let's sit down and talk and, you know, get all these names on the whiteboard. And so you just loop in whoever you can. Maybe it's a partner that's been working with them. That's kind of their trusted advisor. Bring them in, bring their whole team in. And we would just make sure that, okay, now do we have a clear picture that we all agree? These are all the players. These are their priorities. And this is kind of our history with them and what's already happened, the water that's already gone under the bridge. So that we have a shared context of who the team is and what their priorities are before we go in to have the, you know, the higher level conversations.
Okay, cool. And what would your advice be if this is the first time that you're trying to penetrate that account?
It depends. And I'm going to be a little cagey on that one. Mm-hmm. I think if it's your primary account, I've worked with some account managers who literally only had one account, right? They were tasked with, this is your Fortune 20 account. Mm-hmm. This is your only job, right? So they have to go in, and generally those folks already know the drill. They go in and they map the enterprise. They do what I just said.
Yeah.
They'll go ask for all the other people who were in the role before to give them as much information as they can. And they'll kind of work on that. If you're coming into it cold, like you get assigned a new territory, and I've had that happen to me multiple times, then it becomes a case of, I think, prioritization first. So in other words, there's a prior step, which is, do I even care? Am I even going to waste the time and energy to map this account? And we would run into cases where, here's your territory, here are your 100 named accounts, let's say. So not a territory, but more named account list. We would go through there and we'd look at the data and say, okay, well, let's just do a stack rank. Which one of these do we make the top, you know, 80-20 rule? Probably 80% of these, 20% of these deliver 80% of your revenue and will continue to deliver 80% of your revenue. So we'd stack rank that list of companies, take the top 20% that deliver 80% of the revenue and immediately start, you know, prioritizing those as our A's. Then you've got your B's and you've got your C's at the bottom. You probably have some D's, which are the companies that just absolutely will never do business with your company. Don't waste your time, right? First priority is your A's because they continue to pay you every month and every quarter. Keep them happy. Second thing is the B's. They've done a bit of business. They know who you are. Now you can grow the business. The C's are sort of like you've had contact and you're not really doing any business. So I think that there's a precursor step of, is it worth investing in this kind of time to do this kind of research and work and understand their industry? It might not be. But if it is, and they're an A or a B and you don't have access, ask for your, you know, help from your internal folks, ask for help from your partners. You shouldn't be in a position where you're completely cold. If you are, there's, you know, that's a bigger problem.
If it is cold, there's a problem. And
well, yeah, I'm going to hedge on that one. So I'm doing a ton of cold outreach right now. And to CEOs of all sorts of companies. So we could talk about that. So if there's a way to like backtrack that, you know, or I could just say, okay, having said that, if you are in that position, here's what I'm doing right now as I'm launching this new company and I'm doing this cold outreach to all these executives. Here's what I'm doing about that.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So we can talk about that.
Yeah, that sounds good. To kind of wrap up what we had just chatted about there, if you're working with these large account lists and it is cold, maybe you haven't done your kind of due diligence to figure out how to warm it up. You haven't reached out to everyone you could possibly reach out to. You haven't mapped the account in a way that is, you know, giving you the best possible advantage to get into that account. But in the case where you are totally cold, what do you do?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm actually working through this right now, and I have worked through it in prior companies if I've been working on a startup or whatever else. And I am working on a startup, I guess, of sorts. So I'm building my own podcast, and it will be attached to kind of a consulting services company in the artificial intelligence space. And so as part of that, you know, like you guys did when you're setting up your podcast, I'm reaching out to a lot of people to say, hey, I want to do this thing to help educate business leaders on AI and how it can serve their business or their organization or nonprofit or whatever. And so what I've been doing is meeting all of these folks in these virtual conferences, right? We're in pandemic quarantine. So all these conferences have gone virtual, and it's been really crazy and super effective, actually, in that we have these conferences, we end up doing virtual happy hours with breakout rooms, and there are all these little ways that you can meet inside the conference, including like shared Slack spaces and things like that. And it's a salesperson's dream because you're able to then see all of these people's profiles. You can look and they're all presenting, right? A lot of these folks are presenting in the conference. Mm-hmm. So I would watch, you know, if I saw somebody that was interesting, I would look at their talk. I would listen to their talk, take some notes, send them a LinkedIn. I've got a sales navigator plan. So through there, you can send me emails and things, send them a note. But the precursor to that would be, ideally, I would just send a note through the virtual conference system. Hey, I just saw your session. It was fantastic. I have some questions. By the way, I'm also doing this podcast. I would love to have you come and talk about what you presented on. Are you interested? And because you're kind of in the flow of that virtual conference, for me, it's been huge. The response has been huge and everybody's been very positive. I would say I've got a 95% response rate. And even if it's, hey, I'm too busy, I can't do it, maybe you should talk to this person on my team, right? Great referrals and handoffs internally, which has been great. And then I follow up with LinkedIn, kind of a, you know, email and stuff like that. And I've had literally a 95% positive response.
Awesome. So the kind of precursor is still to know about them. And one of the ways to do that is to be kind of viewing their content, or if they're, presenting at a conference or whatever, be there, listen to that. And that's your kind of key, your trigger, your like personalization content, because it still allows you, well, it's still cold technically, but
it is cold.
You're a little bit closer than kind of coming from nowhere.
Yeah. I'm not coming in saying, I don't know anything about you and I'm sending you this random message. Clearly they're receiving this message that says, you listen to my content, you cared about my content, you care about my story. So it's all about they're perceiving, rightly so, you care about them. You care about the message they're trying to get out, which instinctively makes humans more responsive.
Absolutely. Okay, cool. So that's kind of how you tackle it, whether it is truly cold or whether you have some kind of in because of, you know, you've worked with a client, someone else at your company's worked with a client, a past employee's worked with a client. Yeah. So let's chat again about the kind of call that you have with them, the first call that you have with this decision maker. You mentioned within the first, you know, 5 seconds, show them that you've done your research and that you're not just here to ask them a bunch of questions. It's going to be really a valuable conversation for them. Tell me how you structure that call. When you actually, you know, dial and that person picks up, how do you get that information out there quickly enough that they don't just want to hang up on you?
Yeah, that is a really cool question. So I had an experience with a county, a very large county in the US. And I had a really good relationship, which that's a whole other separate and great story, but I had a really great relationship with the CTO. And there were a couple of good lessons in this. Called him up. We were trying to work on multiple projects. We were also trying to salvage a couple of projects that had kind of gone a little bit sideways. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was a lot of kind of, there was a lot of tension. They were working on a lot of very big, very critical projects, and we were one of their vendors. And we were trying to sort of elevate ourselves from, you know, just another vendor to a strategic partner. And we've been plainly told, you're not a strategic partner. You act like a vendor. You don't have a seat at the strategic partner table.
Sure.
So we were working really hard to earn that trust back. So I had this good relationship with the CTO, new CIO was coming in, sorry, CISO, Chief Information Security Officer. And I said, okay, here's where we are. I would always update the CTO. Here's where we are. Here's what your team has done. Here's what we've done. This is the progress we're making. And I know that you want to do project A, then C, you know, let's say C, then B, then A. I really strongly think that that's incorrect. I think you're not serving your organization. You're not going to achieve your goals. I really think you should flip the sequence of this. So, you know, I just outright disagreed with his perspective. And he said, okay, I'm listening. Tell me more. And I said, okay, let me make my case. Made the case to him. And he said, I understand the logic behind that case. I think that's really great. What do you need from me? And I said, well, you know, you've got a new CISO coming in. I would really like to meet her and also get her up to speed on the project, which goes back to shared situational awareness, right? We've got a new executive coming in, cold, doesn't know the history, doesn't know all the projects in flight. I said, could you connect us? And I would like to get her up to speed, take it off his plate and you know, build that relationship and go forward. Absolutely. Yep, I'll make that happen, which he did. Got on the call, which I think is kind of the call you're asking about. We've never met. I don't know this person's history. She doesn't know our history. And I just said, it's really great to meet you. You know, this is my role. I'm a specialist. I'm working on this project, which is tied to these many, many projects, all of which are in your domain. They're all really around security. What do you know and what do you not know? Because we've got a lot of history and a lot of kind of back information here that you may not be privy to. I'd like to share it with you. Can I give you kind of a review of everything that's happened in the last year and kind of all the major things, milestones that have happened? She said, oh, I would love that. That would be so great because I'm kind of coming in and I'm supposed to get up to 100 miles an hour and I just don't have the context. So walk through everything, including their own projects and their own 5-year plan. And then I said, so that's what was handed to us. And these are our marching orders, but we really do report up to you at this point now that you've got this position. Do you agree with this or do you have other priorities? So I think at that point, I was providing enough background and information to help her understand, yes, I knew the customer, our team knew the customer, we knew their priorities, but then I didn't want to assume that those were her priorities because they could have been different. Mm-hmm. And they were in some ways. So then we had a great conversation and yeah, that's kind of how that went. But okay. I think it comes back to establish value early and fast and then say, but I don't want to make any assumptions. are those really your particular needs, or do you have a different set of needs?
Absolutely. That's definitely key. Value, providing value as the first thing that you do. And I imagine that that's one of the ways that you kind of position yourself for these types of clients as that a strategic vendor versus, or a strategic partner versus just another vendor, because a strategic partner, it's in the title, it's a partner, it's someone working together with them to achieve their goals. Whereas a vendor is just selling them something that fits somewhere into their organization and whatever.
Exactly.
It's just a kind of cog in the machine.
Right.
Yeah. So that totally makes sense to me. I think that's great. And listeners out there, jot that down. Value first. And then
bring value first, bring value to everyone in every direction, to your partners, to your colleagues, to the customer, to everybody at the customer, whatever their job is. You know, I think that a principle of sales that I've never really seen anywhere is help everybody win, help everybody get better at their job, their career, make their project successful, because that means they go up the career track and they bring you into the next thing, right?
Makes sense. Yeah. And people aren't going to want to, yeah, give anything back if you're kind of this take type of person. So provide right. that value, and yeah, you'll see kind of what that yields for you down the line.
Yeah. I think in the way I've had it explained, in fact, that CTO, he's one of my favorite execs I've worked with. He said, you know, what we want is somebody who we can have this give and take with and really wrestle with these problems and figure out answers and solutions to. Versus somebody who just, you know, wants to show up and say, hey, do you have anything that you need to buy this month or this quarter or whatever? Because those are just really different dynamics. And what we're looking for is to co-create that partnership with our strategic partners.
Absolutely. Makes sense. So your whole approach to getting this meeting, this successful meeting with the key decision maker at your account is obviously hyper-personalized. It's very research intensive. So in terms of kind of the time you spend and how you would organize your day or organize your time, how do you balance the need to do all of this research with the need to actually then reach out and contact your prospects?
It's very front loaded, and it sounds like a lot. I think it is if you haven't done this kind of work before, but once you sort of do it a whole bunch of times, it becomes pretty fast. So, you know, I think probably when I've had my first sales job at Business Objects, I might've wasted, you know, 2 or 3 weeks trying to do this research. And now I probably do it in 3 hours, you know, open up the website, click on every single thing, open up 20, 30 tabs, go to Crunchbase, go to, you know, whatever databases you have, go to your CRM, look at your data warehouse, pull down a bunch of reports, and then go have a, you know, 1 or 2 hour whiteboard conversation with everybody in the team that knows the customer and get all the issues on the board. What are their priorities? Who are the team members? What are their priorities? What are the issues? What are the projects in flight? You can knock it out in a couple hours.
Absolutely.
So I would just do that. And then the rest of the time is, okay, great, let's send the message, or let's book the meetings, or let's do whatever we need to do.
Right. And this makes sense because we're talking here, we're not talking, you know, small fish, $5,000 deal. We're talking these really huge accounts, really, really difficult to reach senior decision makers. So it makes sense that you should invest this time up front before you even get going. And that, right, as you mentioned, everyone else at the company should be on board. You mentioned this kind of mutual knowledge of the
shared situational awareness.
Shared situational awareness.
Great military phrase.
Yeah, nice. So it makes sense that your whole organization, whether or not they're the salesperson, but as you mentioned, the IT person that worked with that account in the past, the whole organization, the whole company needs to be on board to get you this account. This is something the whole, right, company should have buy into, and everybody should prioritize that time to do that, you know, couple of hours of mapping the account, because it's going to produce so much better results for the salesperson.
Absolutely.
That's then got to go out and book these meetings.
Absolutely. And there was a great phrase, which I learned at Cisco, which I really love, which is win as a team and lose as an individual.
Nice.
It's a great phrase.
Definitely. You mentioned kind of how you prioritize these accounts. You split them up into the A, B, C, Ds. The A's are the ones that are kind of consistently buying from you. The D's are the ones that absolutely are never going to.
Yeah.
How do you split those up? What kind of indicators are you looking at in those accounts to segment them like that?
Again, the A's are probably your 20% generating 80% of your revenue. I've done that multiple times with multiple situations and territories where, you know, you get 100 accounts and you look at the data warehouse and you go, okay, let's pull a report. Everything we've earned from these customers in the last 5 years, broken out by product category or whatever systems you have, systems of record. And literally it would be 20% of that list would have generated 78.8% of the revenue or something like that. It was always roughly within 20-80 rule, which was super cool. And so to me, those are your A's, right? That's the most obvious cutoff. You know, where you draw the next ones up to you. I kind of think the next group below that, you know, let's say you had 100 accounts. So your top 20 accounts generated that. Maybe it's the next 20 accounts are your B's and the next 20 accounts are your C's, and kind of you just don't care about the ones after that. It's just too much work.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. And kind of to tie this whole conversation together, a question that I have is, how do you scale this? How do you, what can you be on the lookout for? What can you do to kind of try to do all of this research and all of this outreach to scale?
We did that at, we had a project around ransomware, and it was kind of an attempt to do exactly what you're saying. So the idea was, could we reach out to all of the CISOs at all of these different states and county organizations with a common set of messages to try to get access to a bunch of people we didn't already have access to? Mm-hmm. And not just across one account manager in their territory or their named accounts or whatever they had, but across multiple account managers or multiple teams of account managers across multiple states. And so we ended up pulling together a bunch of research. So in this case, it's almost the inverse. Basically, we said, here's an issue, ransomware, right? Ransomware is a really big problem. It's growing very, very rapidly in the security space. You get a lot of these sort of state and local governments and education universities, things like that, that are being asked to pay ransoms. Their systems, IT, are being locked down, and they're saying, you know, someone says, pay us a ransom, we'll unlock it. So this was becoming a really critical problem in the industry. So we did a ton of research on this, basically pulled together a 300-page document internally, and then boiled all that down into about 2 pages of really, really dense content that would be super useful for any CIO or CISO to know. And then we sent a subset of that information out through the account teams, you know, down through the account managers to their account teams, who then could just take that boilerplate and put it in, you know, their own email to each of their CIOs that who they may or may not have had a relationship with. That opened up a lot of doors and got a ton of meetings.
Hmm. Okay.
So I think there's a mass message that you can push out through scale, you know, things like that.
Absolutely. But
it's super high value. There was enough information in there that whoever received it could go, this is better information than I already have. I already know I have a problem, but this is telling me the problem is bigger than I thought it was, and that these folks would like to have a conversation about potential solutions, which is great.
Right. And it meant that also before you even reached out, you had done so much research to know what exact title in what exact industry or market was even going to have this problem. So it's not just a massive kind of spray and pray to every, you know, IT individual that exists everywhere.
Correct.
You kind of boiled it down.
And this was done by market. This was done by state and local government only.
Right.
And so it was focused on that. It was only talking about the metrics were all about state, and it gave a bunch of examples and a bunch of lawsuits and a bunch of links so that they could go, oh, you're sending me critical information about my peers. I should be paying attention to this.
Exactly. So it goes back to everything that we've kind of chatted about from the beginning of this podcast, that all the research that needs to be done on the industry, the market, the title, the types of pains and priorities that they have. And from there, you can, you know, personalize at scale, because if you know what that individual is going to care about, you can reach out to multiple of those individuals within the same market with the same messaging, which is what you guys did successfully with this example.
Yeah. And I think that's the key is, you know, certainly if you're selling one specific project to one particular company, you need to know every person on that executive buying team and what their priorities are. But if you're trying to just get the attention and get the message out, then you can do this other kind of version where you're doing messaging at scale, but it's tailored messaging at scale, sector and title specific.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, in your career, you've won huge clients like Apple, Google, AT&T, Korea Telecom, and then massive state governments like Washington, Oregon, Idaho, the Northwest, basically the whole Northwest. And what is the one universal lesson that you think you've learned in trying to reach out to all of these difficult to reach decision makers across all of those industries?
Help them succeed in their career. I mean, it comes down to that, right? They career CIO, the typical joke in the industry is CIO stands for career is over. I've sold mostly to CIOs and chief information security officers. And they, for the most part, they're always balancing this edge of wanting to push the organization forward, but that can, you know, cut them if they make the wrong decision, they pick the wrong architecture, they go down the wrong track. So there's always this real risk inherent in what they're doing, which is I want to keep the organization running, but I also want to move forward. I want to take chances and take risks. And I think ultimately it comes down to know so much about your space and your product and the general trend pattern direction that you're really useful to them and you can help them navigate those waters, the technology waters. That's my specific case. But I think if you to generalize that principle, it's be so useful that they feel like they want to have you at the table and they want to be treating you like a strategic partner because you treat them like a strategic customer, and help them achieve their goals and make their career go forward and check off their objectives. And if you are working towards that all the time, that automatically keeps you focused on them. It keeps you focused on their priorities and focused on what they care about, as opposed to you saying, oh, it's quarter end, I need a deal, can you sign this PO?
Cool.
They will naturally do that because they already know that your focus is on them. You'll start seeing things like, hey, it's quarter end, like, do we need to pull some deals forward for you? You know, and things like that. That comes from a good relationship.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Troy. We covered a lot of ground.
Thank you, Sarah.
And I think a ton of our listeners or our listeners are going to get a ton of value from this. There's a right. lot of stuff here that they can really implement themselves. We chatted about what important research you need to do on a company industry market before you reach out. We talked about how to use that to craft that messaging. And then we talked about how to actually have this call with a prospect that shows you know more about your business than they even do and doesn't ask them to answer 100 discovery questions. And finally, how to kind of prioritize your time, how to prioritize accounts, and how to scale all of it when you can. If people want to learn more from you, where can they get in touch with you?
LinkedIn is great. Troy Angredon, the silent G at the end. And so you can find me there and also at productiveai.com, which we just launched.
Awesome. And as you mentioned, you've got the podcast. So people need to listen to that. We'll link
just getting it going. Yeah. So hopefully in the next month or two, we'll have the first 5 or 10 episodes out.
Okay, perfect. Well, we'll make sure to link that so that people can watch or watch or listen however they consume their podcasts.
Yeah.
Thanks again so much for being on the
show. Thank you, Sarah. This was great. I appreciated the time.
Have a good one.
Take care. Bye.